My dad, Pastor Salem, was thankful that viewers opened their homes and welcomed us to worship together. Dad's sermon, Behold Your King, guides us through Jesus' humble ride into Jerusalem, where he would go to the cross and shed his blood for the sins of the world.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And this is a special Sunday. We call it Palm Sunday. And that's when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the little donkey. You all know that story. And the sermon title is going to be, Behold Your King. Behold Your King. But before that, I want to share some of the letters. We get so many nice letters. I just had to share them with you. You'll get a kick out of them, I'm sure. The first one I want to read is from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And this person writes and says, My dear mother is 93 years old, very sick, and is in hospice care at an assisted living facility here in Sioux Falls. I call her every Sunday at 10 a.m. to help her find your services. She can't remember how to operate her TV control without my help. She's so happy when she sees your face and knows that she can hear your message. Keep up the good work. You've helped to save many to come to the Lord. And I'm just so happy when we can help the elderly, because God tells us, God told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. And then a lot of times it's children and young people. A lot of times it's elderly. And there's a wonderful verse for the elderly that I like to use, Isaiah 46, verse 4. And God says, I will be your God through all your lifetime. Yes, even when your hair is white with age. I made you. I will care for you. I will carry you along and be your Savior. And that is such a beautiful thing. We think of God, Jesus, carrying the young lambs, and that's true. He does. He carries the old gray heads, too, and I'm an old gray head and proud of it. And he carries me and helps me over and over. And then here's one from Hadar, Nebraska. Can a person go from hell to heaven after they die? If they change their mind toward God, will our prayers help? And the Bible, God says, he tells us exactly what happens. He says in Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. In other words, when we die, it's all settled. There's no decisions afterwards. There's no prayer, no help afterwards. We all, every one of us, when we die, we go into eternity, and it's all settled. Heaven or hell. And that's why you need to receive Jesus right on the spot. Do it now. Just ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins, and God will help you, and you can be a child of God. And then another letter we got that's really nice. This is from a gentleman. And he writes from 2 Dot Montana. 2 Dot Montana. I would just bet anything on the world that this man has whiskers. And now listen to his letter. He says, I've enjoyed the services every Sunday as I am remote in the mountains and seldom get to town. I have sinned, but usually ask to forgive them. O-L-E, old school, and believe he is the one and only way to get us through this old corrupt world. If everyone could enjoy his guidance like us older folks, things would be much better. Pray for his forgiveness and live life good, old mountain man. And so I can just see this man. Here he is. He's way up into the mountains in Montana, and it's called 2 Dot. That is a nice name, 2 Dot. And he's an older man, and I just know he has whiskers. And I just give anything if he's listening, if he'd send a picture of it, I'd just love to see it. But the main thing is he's there alone most of the time, but he has the Lord with him. God is with him. And then I have one more letter that I want to share. Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I discovered your show by accident. It has been a blessing. And so I just want you to know it wasn't an accident. It wasn't an accident. God brought you there, and he wants you to watch, and he wants you to listen, and he wants you to just put your faith in the Lord Jesus and grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord. I don't think we meet by accident. We meet that God brings us there and helps us to know each other. But let's look at our sermon today. It's entitled, Behold Your King. And it's Palm Sunday today. And so we're thinking about a king. And why, I don't know how many times, hell, every Palm Sunday I preach on this, Palm Sunday of the king riding into Jerusalem. And usually Jesus rides a little donkey and they all say he's the king and they put down their branches and all of the rest. But I want you to think of him today, not just as that riding that little donkey. I don't want you to think of him that way. I want you to think of him as the great King and King and Lord of Lords. And Isaiah helps us to get to think about that. He writes this 700 years before Jesus is born. 700 years. And he writes, and he prophesied under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And what Isaiah is saying here is, and other Old Testaments writers also, is that the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, is going to come and sit literally, physically, on David's throne. And this Messiah sitting on David's throne is going to rule all of Israel. But that's not all. He's going to rule the whole world. And even more astounding is this. He's going to rule forever. Jesus Christ's reign will never end. He is going to have established his kingdom and there'll be no end to it because Jesus will never die. And so there'll be no end of his rule. Wonderful, wonderful Savior. Just thrills your soul. So let's look at this. Jesus Christ is a king. He's going to have a kingdom. And just before his ascension into heaven, Jesus was asked by his disciples. And they said, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Acts 1:6. They were talking about a literal, physical, political kingdom, just like the Roman Empire. They thought it would take over the Roman Empire. They wanted to know if Jesus would establish that long-awaited kingdom right now, or if not now, just when would that happen? Now notice this. Jesus, in replying to this question of his disciples, did not deny that he would one day have a literal kingdom on earth. He did not deny the fact of his kingdom. But instead, Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Acts 1, verse 7. What Jesus is saying in so many words is, yes, I have a kingdom. Yes, I have a kingdom and it's coming to this earth and it's going to rule the whole world. And I'm never going to die because I'm going to live forever and rule forever. But when that happens, only the Father in heaven knows. Because the Heavenly Father knows when that time is going to come, when the trumpet is going to sound and the Lord is going to descend, and he's going to rule and reign forever and ever. Many years, perhaps as many as 35 or 40 years later, John, one of the disciples, under inspiration of God's Spirit, says this, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. Revelation 11, 15. That goes hand in hand with Isaiah's prophecy that said, and that prophecy was given some 700 years earlier. And he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Isaiah 9, verse 6. That day is coming when the Lord will be king over all the earth. God's kingdom is going to be established in a future day. The prophets and the apostles all spoke of the future coming of that wonderful, glorious kingdom. There is a kingdom coming. Man is going to try and stop it. Man is going to fight against God. He's going to try to put a stop to it. But God tells us in the Psalms, God looks at him and God laughs at him. Foolish, stupid, weak little man, defying God of all the ignorant, crazy people. that is going to try to overthrow it and to stop it. But the kingdom of God is of God, and the men not only will make a fool of themselves as they try to oppose God Almighty, if you can imagine such a thing. I couldn't imagine it, but people are doing it right now. Television, they're using profanity and challenging God, and some even claim there is no God of all the crazy things, and that's going to, so they're fighting God. But let's just look at this. The king is the Lord Jesus Christ. God calls him my king. Isaiah wrote about this when he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Notice this, a child is born, a son is given. As a child, Jesus Christ had a human genealogy. Romans 1:3 tells us concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made in the seed of David according to the flesh. A child is born in the flesh. Jesus Christ is the seed of David. Always keep that in mind, according to the flesh. As far as Jesus is concerned as a son, he is there forever. He can't be born. He's given because he's always been the Son of God and always will be the Son of God. Always keep that in mind. He was in the flesh when he ascended into heaven. Jesus Christ had that body of flesh given to him that he got when he was born of Mary. And so he's always with the Son, but there was a time that he became a child. And this one, this boy, he became a son. And remember the 16th Psalm. It tells us that his flesh shall not see corruption. Verse 10. So Jesus Christ in the flesh shall return to rule from the throne of David. That's a literal reign. It is not imaginary or a spirit form. It is in the flesh. So as a child, Jesus had a human genealogy. But as a son, he is the Son of God. He has no genealogy because God has no beginning or no ending. So the Son is called the Everlasting Father by Isaiah. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. So he's born a child after the flesh, but without sin. He's a son given, Son of God, without beginning or ending. Of this one, Isaiah declares in Isaiah 9:7, he says, the government shall be upon his shoulder. His reign shall be without end. So shall he sit upon the literal throne of David. 2 Samuel 7 is a great chapter dealing with this chapter, with this matter. It contains the covenant God made with David. When you call, that's what today we call it, the Davidic covenant. It has to do with the son of David, of whom God said, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Verse 14. God is speaking of Jesus Christ in this prophecy. In the 16th verse of this chapter, God says, of his only begotten son Jesus, thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. So don't take it lightly. Don't put any question marks there. Always remember that when God spoke to David about a house, he was not speaking of a spiritual house. He was not speaking about a material house right then. God was speaking of a political house. That is a royal family, a family of descendants. And when God speaks of a kingdom, he's referring to a place ruled by a king. Nothing imaginary and nothing fictitious. He spoke of a real, actual, literal kingdom. And so when God spoke to David about a throne, he meant the literal seat of a literal king. The throne of David is as literal as the throne of England. It's real. It's actual. And it is an actual person on a literal throne. So it is with Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of David. It is all flesh, literal and actual. The throne of David is empty today. No descendant sits upon it. David's descendants did occupy that throne for centuries. But sin and rebellion caused the overthrow of the kingdom, and Israel was carried into captivity. And then Israel is scattered throughout the millions and the nations of the world. All over the earth we have the Jew. God knew all of this was going to happen, so he warned through the prophet Hosea. Listen to Hosea chapter 3 and verse 5. For the children of Israel shall abide many years, many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice. They're talking about the scattering of Israel all over the world. So Israel wandered over the face of the earth under the judgment and chastisement of God. And then one day, centuries later, the angel Gabriel came to a virgin named Mary and said, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Luke 1, 31 to 33. So it happened that when the wise men came, they said, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? They didn't say, Where is he that is born to become King of the Jews? They said, Where is he that is born king? He was king when he was born. He was king of the Jews. And when the king of the Jews came to his people, they rejected him. And they crucified him. They said, Away with him and crucify him. And they nailed him to a cross. And then it was that Pilate, the Roman governor, placed over the head of Jesus. This is Jesus. He's the king of the Jews. There you have it. God Almighty used Pilate to write the truth to all the world to see that day, and all of hell could not change it. Jesus is the King of the Jews. He was and is the King destined to sit upon David's throne, and no man will stop it or hinder it. Furthermore, God's covenant with David was not broken by death that day, because God raised Jesus from the dead. So he sit upon the throne, promised with an everlasting oath. And listen, Peter talks about that promise and when he writes in Acts chapter 2. And Peter says, Now we've had the crucifixion, and we've had the resurrection, and we've had Pentecost. And now Peter stands to preach. He preached a long sermon. This is part of it. He says, Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to his flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne, he, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul should not be left in Hades, neither his flesh should see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. So there you have it. God declares that he will seat his son on his holy hill of Zion. That is the city of Jerusalem. The first mention of Zion in Scripture is in 2 Samuel 5, verses 6 to 9. Zion is a hill in Jerusalem, in older and higher part of the city. Later, Zion came to be used for the whole city of Jerusalem. David's throne was in Jerusalem. It was never anywhere else. Jesus, the King of Heaven, is not seated on the throne of David, because David's throne is in earth. It's earthy. So Jesus is going to come from heaven, and he's going to sit upon that throne, and he's going to be there, and he's going to reign forever until the earth has ended. And we all go into eternity. Someday Jesus is going to return, and he will sit upon that throne, literally, actually sit on that throne. This enthronement will take place when Jesus comes again to the world. God said, Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Matthew throws additional light upon this. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, 25:31. This has reference to Jesus' second coming in to earth. Now, while his throne is located on the holy hill of Zion in Jerusalem, his rule will not be limited just to Jerusalem or just to Israel, but not even the Middle East. It's going to rule the whole world. It's going to be universal. That is, it's going to extend to all of the earth. This kingdom in Revelation 11, 15, This kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He shall reign forever and forever. Remember what the prophet said over 2,500 years ago? The government shall be upon his shoulder, and of his government, increase of his government, there shall be no end. There's no end to it. It goes into eternity. Psalm 72 talks about this coming rule of Jesus. Psalm 72, he says, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river under the ends of the earth. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And in let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Yes, yes, Jesus Christ is the coming king. And oh, how this poor, tortured world needs that king. And so we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But yet that Jesus waits and he hesitates because he knows that when he comes and time is no more, there are no more will ever come to Jesus. And so he's giving a little more time for somebody to come. He's giving time for you. Maybe right now you're saying, oh, yes, I feel Jesus. I just feel like I want Jesus. And you know, God says, I'm standing at your door and knocking. Jesus said that. If you open that heart, you open your life, I'll come in and I'll dwell with you and we'll fellowship together. And so right now, perhaps that's where I just want Jesus. I just want to start a new life. I just want to be a part of that kingdom. I want to rule and reign with Jesus. I want to be a part of his kingdom. But I just don't know what to say. And all you need to do is call on the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, you can do that by just talking to Jesus and saying, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I've sinned against you. And I ask you to come into my heart and life and take away my sins. And then you turn from your evil ways. You walk with the king now. You walk with Jesus. But I want to tell you this. You'll never be perfect. You try for perfection. You try to be like Jesus. But you're going to fail. And when you fail, you tell Jesus you're sorry. And in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Because it breaks our fellowship. It doesn't break our relationship. Because when you accept Jesus, you're a child of God. And if you have a son, he's your son no matter what he does. Your fellowship can be broken, but the relationship can't be broken. And if you accept Jesus Christ, you're a child of God forever. But the fellowship can be broken. That can happen with husband and wife or children and parents, and their fellowship is broken. And you sin, that breaks that fellowship. We're jealous or we're envious or we lose our temper or something, and we tell Jesus about it. And we ask him to forgive you. And you say, well, how many times will you forgive you? Oh, maybe 50,000 times. I don't know. Jesus says there's no end to his forgiveness. He says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so matter what your sins are, if you come to Jesus, he'll forgive you. And so that's what the Christian worship hour is all about. We want you to come to the Savior. And right now you can make that prayer. Maybe you're just a child. I was 10 years old when I accepted the Lord. I have a daughter, Patty, accepted Jesus when she was 5. And now she's a grandmother and walking with Jesus. And so you can, no matter how little you are, you can come to Jesus. You young people, you have so many problems. You have so many temptations. You come to Jesus. Be part of that great kingdom of God, that kingdom that's coming to this earth, and you'll rule and reign with Christ. And to the shut-ins, and to those who are weary, and those who are lonely, we hear from letters of people that says, I have no friends, and nobody comes to see me. Well, Jesus will see you, and he'll be with you, and he'll never leave you or forsake you. And I can tell you that I walked with Jesus for 88 years, and I'm telling you, and I've failed the Lord many times, but I've never been alone. He's always been with me. He's always helped me, and he wants to help you. And so you make that prayer right now, asking Jesus into your life. And if you do that, then you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002-2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. And if you want to help us in the work, we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And so we hope that you'll send a gift. And if you can't do that, at least pray. Pray for us. And God has those people that will help us. They are able to help us. But we need to have you to stand by. And we want you also to know that we have a little study that we put out, a little study every month. And this month is called the New Song. And this month it's about Jesus. I know that my Redeemer lives. It's the month of the resurrection month. And man says, so Jesus, I know you're living, and there I've got reasons for reasons. So you write for that. Or if you want to have our little film, one about the shepherd, the heart of a shepherd, and we'll send that on a free will offering basis. So you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us by ChristianWorshipHour.com. So now I want to pray a prayer, and we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Myanmar. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your people who tuned us in. And Lord, thank you for those who have just become your child. They've just opened their heart to you. They've just made that prayer, and you're in their heart right now. Pray for the people of Myanmar, those who are suffering for you, Lord, and having hard times. Help them to take heart and not be weary in well-doing. And you know all about it, and someday you'll put an end to that. So thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we just thank you all for tuning in. We hope that you'll tell your friends. We get people to say, well, I get my friends, I'm telling them. One person has a list, and they call people to be tune us in. And next week, Lord willing, we'll be back. We'll be preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ, and we'll be telling you the great story. And the great story is that God loves you. The God so loved the world, he gave his son. And when he gave his son, he robbed heaven. He gave everything he had. And Jesus Christ loved you. He gave his life on the cross. And when he's on the cross, he was praying for you. And he could see your face. He's giving his life for you. But you have to open your heart to him. And just remember, just make that prayer, asking him into your life. And then the Christian Worship Hour, we all love you and praying for you. And I know I love you, and I just wish I could bring everyone to see you. I want to see everybody in heaven, so I hope that you'll just open your heart to Jesus, and then we'll all get together there. And when we get to heaven, we're going to sing the songs, how we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. And we're going to worship and give praise to Jesus. And we're going to see him on his throne, and we're going to see the angels of God around him. And we're going to be in that wonderful group forever and ever, praising God and bringing glory to God's name. There's nothing like the redeemed, as they sing, washed in the blood of the Lamb. So just sing that song and pray that prayer, and we'll all get together one of these bright, sunny days.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.